So good morning or good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the webcast for the Spring 2023 Block Energy and Capacity RFP, or BEC RFP. My name is Katie Orlandi, and I am from NERA Economic Consulting, the procurement administrator on behalf of the Illinois Power Agency. And presenting with me today is Paul Cardona, also from NERA. So this webcast is going to cover the four procurement events held under the BEC RFP. These include three events to procure block energy for Ameren, Illinois, Commonwealth Edison, and Mid-American Energy Company, and a fourth procurement event for capacity for Ameren, Illinois. And so, throughout this presentation, we're going to refer to the utilities likely as follows: Ameren, Illinois as AIC, Commonwealth Edison as ComEd, and Mid-American as MEC. We're going to take questions at the end of the presentation as time permits. To submit questions, please use the chat icon at the bottom of your screen and type in a question and hit enter. The presentation materials, including an audio recording and the questions and answers, will be posted to the procurement website, ipaenergyrfp.com, later today. This slide provides a short disclaimer. So any statements herein or made on the call describing or referring to the RFP and contract documents are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by the governing documents. The governing documents include the contract documents that were posted on March 15th and the RFP documents that were posted yesterday, March 16th, both to the procurement site IPA-EnergyRFP. And bidders bear the full responsibility for reviewing and understanding these documents. So before I move to the agenda, this slide provides a screenshot for navigating to those governing documents. You'll visit IPA-EnergyRFP.com, go to the Block Energy and Capacity Procurement link in orange, and then you'll find the documents under Final Materials. So on the call today, I'm going to start with an overview of the procurement events, including the products to be procured. I'll then provide some details on the supplier contracts and a general overview of the RFP process and timelines. I'll then pass the presentation to Paul Cardona for the second half, and he'll cover the RFP process requirements and then a section on the bid submission and evaluation procedure. So on September 28th, 2022, the Illinois Power Agency, or IPA, filed its procurement plan with the Illinois Commerce Commission. The plan was approved on December 15th, 2022. And the plan provides for four procurement events to be held this spring under a Block Energy and Capacity RFP. And as I mentioned, NERA serves as the procurement administrator for this RFP. And in this role, we review the qualification materials that you submit to us, and then we evaluate the bids that are received on the bid dates. So we have an important note up front that there'll be a new energy fuel mix reporting requirement beginning with the procurements held in 2023. In accordance with the December 15th ICC order, the public results release for energy products will include the expected fuel mix related to winning bids, and this information will be posted in aggregate across winning bidders. So bidders with bids identified as winning bids will be required to provide the fuel mix report. It's a new appendix to the rules, Appendix 18, for each company for which they have winning bids by 6 p.m. on the day after the bid date. And the fuel mix report will provide the expected fuel mix by month and on-peak and off-peak segment for a company. And we're going to provide more details on this requirement throughout the presentation. But also notably, the IPA will request the actual fuel mix of supply from each winning bidder during the delivery term. So in each December and June, the IPA will request information for the preceding 6 months. This slide introduces the products that are available in the RFP, and then I'll move to more detailed slides, first on energy, and then we'll go to capacity. So the RFP seeks to procure block energy for AIC, ComEd, and MEC, and the products available are specific quantities of on-peak and off-peak energy in monthly periods from June 1, 2023 through May 31st, 2026. Similar to past years, there will be no quantities for MEC to be procured for the period June 1, 2024 through May 31st, 2026. Also, we'd like to note that the preliminary targets for ComEd that are posted in the final RFP rules reflect a 50% hedging target, which is a lower hedging target than prior years stemming from the regulatory proceeding. The energy targets for all utilities will be finalized over the next weeks, and they're based on the March load forecast. And notably, at this time, it does look like there will be targets for ComEd in the first delivery year. So that means there'll be targets in all 3 years for both Ameren and ComEd. The capacity product is procured for AIC only. Specifically, this RFP seeks to procure zonal resource credits, or ZRCs, for a given season as defined by MISO for the 2024-25 and 2025-26 planning years in order to fulfill a portion of the forecast requirement for AIC in those 2 years. ZRCs can be offered from all zones, and ZRCs from outside AIC's compliance zone, which is Local Resource Zone 4, will be subject to a payment adjustment under the contract, and we'll talk about this adjustment further on a later slide. So an energy product represents block energy for a company, either AIC, ComEd, or MEC. It's for a specific segment, either on-peak or off-peak hours, and for a given month. The quantity of each product is divided into blocks of 25 megawatts. And as I mentioned, the final targets, or the number of blocks to be procured for each product, are expected to be available by the end of this month, so by March 31st. The energy targets that are currently posted in the rules and in screenshots throughout this presentation are the provisional targets only at this time. And when the final targets are available, we'll post them to the website. And then an announcement will be sent to registrants, and they'll be provided directly to qualified bidders as well. So bidders can also bid on combinations of products for a particular company in on-peak and off-peak segments. The available combinations are January and February, March and April, July and August, Q4, as well as an annual combination, which includes all months, June to May of a planning year. The number of blocks available in a combination is set to the minimum number of blocks available across the months of the combination. And so I'll give an example of this on the next slide. So this slide provides that example. It's based on the provisional targets for AIC. And again, the targets are provided separately by company, segment, and month. So the top table includes the provisional targets for Ameren for individual monthly products. For example, for June 2023, in the top row, the target is 24 blocks for the on-peak segment and 19 blocks for the off-peak segment. And then in the bottom table, we have the number of blocks available for each combination for AIC. So specifically for March-April 2024 combination, there are 7 on-peak blocks available. And that's because the minimum number of blocks available for each of March and April 2024 in the table above is 7 applicable to the April on-peak product. The bid evaluation for block energy considers only bids that meet or beat the benchmarks. These benchmarks are developed using a confidential methodology that's approved by the ICC. After that first step, for the block energy events, the evaluation will identify the least cost package for each company. So that completes the overview of the energy products. I'm going to walk through a few slides here on capacity next. The AIC capacity procurement event reflects the FERC order accepting MISO's change to a seasonal capacity construct. So ZRCs to be procured in this event are for a given season of the 2024-25 and 2025-26 planning years, and there are separate targets for each season and planning year. And we provide the season definitions from MISO on this slide. So summer is June to August, fall, September to November, winter, December to February, and then spring, March to May. The final targets for capacity products will be posted to the procurement website by Monday, so this upcoming Monday, March 20th, and we'll send an announcement to registrants at that time. So as defined in MISO's tariff, a ZRC represents 1 megawatt of seasonal accredited capacity that qualifies to satisfy the resource adequacy requirement for a given season of a planning year in a local resource zone. ZRCs must be transferred to AIC using MISO's Module E capacity tracking tool by the delivery deadline that's specified in the contract, and it's ahead of MISO's upcoming planning resource auction. Ahead of the applicable planning resource auction. I didn't mean to imply this one. So ZRCs from all zones can be offered. There'll be a payment adjustment for ZRCs from outside the compliance zone that are selected and approved through the RFP. The compliance zone is local resource zone 4, and I'll give more detail again on this price adjustment in the supplier contract section. A bid in the capacity event includes a price in dollar per megawatt day for at least one ZRC for a given season, also the number of ZRCs to which the price applies, and then the source zone of the ZRCs. And bidders can submit bids for ZRCs with different prices, quantities, and source zones up to the target for that season. And again, the source zone provided in the bid is the LRZ in which the ZRCs are located. Now, Paul will give more detail in the second half of the presentation on how to complete the bid form and more detail also on bids and bid evaluation. But up front here, I'll let you know the evaluation of bids will proceed independently for each season. And it also consists of two steps. First, the evaluation considers only bids that meet or beat the benchmark. And second, the evaluation selects the lowest price bids to fill the target for a given season. So this next section is an overview of the supplier contract. So as I mentioned, the final contracts were posted on March 15th. There are separate energy contracts for AIC, ComEd, and MEC, and again, a separate contract for AIC capacity products. Each contract is standard and non-negotiable, and bidders are required to accept the terms of the supplier contract for the procurement event or events for which they're applying during the qualification process and prior to bidding. So in effect, all bidders in an event will be agreeing to the same contract terms and will also be agreeing ahead of time to execute the contract within 3 days of commission decision on the results if they do have bids that have been selected. The contracts for 2023 are based on the final contract from 2022, and the AIC capacity contract is the same as the contract from the early 2023 capacity RFP. There were some minor edits made for 2023 to the ComEd contract only. So in the guarantee, standard forms for amendments were added, as suppliers will now have the option to amend their guarantee as opposed to replacing the guarantee entirely. There were also a couple of administrative edits to the ComEd master agreement as well. And if you'd like to review those changes, there are red lines available if you follow the link on this slide. This slide provides the main contract terms for the energy contracts. So the exposure calculation is based on a mark-to-market methodology. So there could be a collateral requirement applicable to the seller. This requirement will apply to seller only. If there's a collateral requirement, the seller must post performance assurance in the form of cash, a letter of credit, or a guarantee. And within each contract, there are standard letters of credit and guarantee forms and a list of modifications to the form that would be acceptable to the respective company. If a seller has multiple contracts with the buyer, then a single guarantee can be used. This slide provides a description of the payment under the supplier contract for capacity. So for a given source zone and for a given season of a planning year, the amount paid to the seller is the average of the seller's approved bids for the season and source zone in dollar per megawatt day, multiplied by the number of VRCs delivered, multiplied by the number of calendar days in the season. And I mentioned that payment for ZRCs from zones outside of LRZ4 will be adjusted. That adjustment is based on the applicable auction clearing price of the source zone for the selected ZRC relative to the auction clearing price for the compliance zone. And again, compliance zone being LRZ4. And so we have actually posted to our website at this time, I think, two or three examples for how the payment adjustment is done. And you can use the link here to review those numerical examples. Importantly, there's no payment adjustment required for ZRCs from the compliance zone, zone four. Bidders can review a red line of the contract posted for this RFP to the most recent capacity agreement related to an annual ZRC product from the fall 2022 event that was ultimately canceled. You can use the link here to review that red line. The notable changes include changes to accommodate procurement of ZRCs for each of the four seasons defined by MISO, updates to terms from MISO documentation, and also the timing for invoicing has changed so that the seller will invoice AIC on a monthly basis during the applicable season for which the ZRCs are associated. The last slide in this section provides the main contract terms for the AIC capacity contract. So again, the collateral requirement applies only to the seller. Exposure under the contract will be 10% of the contract value and is required on the effective date. The contract value is based on the bids approved and any payment adjustment for ZRCs that are from a zone outside the compliance zone. So if after any adjustments, the supplier is required to pay the buyer, then the exposure is simply the amount owed to the buyer. Any required performance assurance, again, can be posted in the form of cash, a letter of credit, or a guarantee if the seller is relying on a creditworthy guarantor. There are standard forms of letters of credit and guarantee also posted with this contract, and also included is a list of acceptable modifications that can be made to the guarantee. So you can go ahead and download that information and review ahead of time. So that concludes the overview of the supplier contract. This next section provides an overview of the RFP process. So the process is going to kick off on Monday, March 20th. That's when applicants can begin submitting their proposal materials. The proposal is submitted in two parts, a part one proposal and then a part two proposal. The part two includes posting bid assurance collateral. And Paul's going to go into really the details of these requirements in the next section. I just want to give an overview of the timeline here. So the part one window is from March 20th to March 27th. Entities that have not participated in an event in 2023 will be required to pay a $500 bid participation fee by the part one deadline on March 27th. And instructions for payment of that fee are going to be sent by the end of today. Bidders are notified whether they qualified and that they can submit a part two proposal by the part one notification date on March 31st. The next day, the part two window opens and part two proposals, including providing bid assurance collateral for the energy procurement events, are due by April 11th. So notably for this spring, the capacity bid date is held 4 weeks after the energy bid date. And so this means that the deadline for bid assurance collateral for the capacity event has also been pushed to much later. So we're back up here in April. After the April 11th deadline, on April 13th, we're going to hold a bidder training for energy bidders. And this is an opportunity for qualified bidders to practice all of the bid procedures that they'd use on the bid date. The bid date for energy is Monday, April 17th, and the ICC decision on the results is expected on Thursday, April 20th. Then 2.5 weeks later on Monday, May 8th, bid assurance collateral for the capacity event is due. We'll hold a dedicated bidder training for capacity bidders on May 10th. And then the capacity bid date is Monday, May 15th. Like energy, the results of the capacity event are subject to ICC approval, and the ICC decision on the results for capacity is expected on Thursday, May 18th. So as I laid out on the last slide, the process begins tomorrow and proceeds over 6 weeks. Suppliers start by submitting the part one to become qualified. Suppliers will then submit the part two for any procurement event for which they qualified. Bids are submitted and evaluated on dedicated bid dates. Then both the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor for this RFP will submit separate reports on the results to the commission, and the commission renders a decision for each procurement event. Next, utilities and winning sellers can proceed executing the contracts, and winning sellers are required to pay supplier fees to the IPA. So the estimates for supplier fees, we typically have them in the webcast, but this time they're going to be sent over email announcement by Monday, March 20th, 2023. So that's this upcoming Monday. And then the final supplier fees for block energy and capacity will be announced 4 business days before the applicable bid date. So with that, I'm going to turn the presentation now over to Paul.
Thank you, Katie. This next portion of the presentation is going to be dedicated to the application process. In order to qualify to bid in the spring 2023 block energy and capacity RFP, you'll be required to submit qualification materials to us online. If you are a new bidder and you have not yet registered for an account to access the online forums to submit your proposal, you should do that now. There are a couple of different ways you can do that. You can register either by going to the procurement website, which is www.ipa-energyrfp.com, and clicking on the qualification form link on the left-hand side, and then by clicking the register here link. We sort of have an example here on the slide. Alternatively, you can send us an email to illinois-rfp@nera.com with the information requested on this slide. The individual that registers for the account will receive an email with account activation instructions. The account activation instructions will come to you this afternoon after today's presentation. Current account holders do not need to re-register through the website or by email. So a current account holder is a bidder that qualified to participate in a procurement event in 2021 or later, or an account holder that registered in 2021 or later. So if you fall into this bucket, even though you do not need to register, every account holder will have to activate their account in order to access the form. For a bidder that qualified to participate in a procurement event in 2021 or later, that includes individuals that participated in the early 2023 capacity RFP. The representative, the authorized representative, which I'll go over more later, will receive an email with an activation link prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. If you're an account holder as of 2021 but have not participated in the procurement events, the individual that registered for the account will receive this email with the activation link. We'll also send instructions to access and complete the online forms to current and new account holders. These instructions will include screenshots for how to activate your account. All of the information you will need will be provided to you prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. And again, that will come to you this afternoon. Went through, too many slides. Okay, so all bidders participating in the spring 2023 block energy and capacity procurement events must complete a two-part application process. The first portion of this is called the Part 1 proposal and consists of information submitted through the online Part 1 form, supporting documents that are either uploaded to the form or sent by email to the procurement administrator. Again, our email is illinois-rfp@nira.com. Also part of the Part 1 proposal are inserts, which are standalone Microsoft Word documents available for download from the website. These documents were uploaded yesterday, March 16th, 2023. Please note that inserts are not retained from previous procurement events. Finally, you will also be required to submit a bid participation fee to the IPA, which is due on the Part 1 date. And this bid participation fee is covers all IPA procurement events in 2023. Finally, a quick note that the Part 1 proposals are due by 12 p.m. Central on Monday, March 27th, 2023. The Part 1 form will ask for basic information about the bidder, including its name and address, information about his participation in PJM and MISO. The bidder will also be asked to name an officer that will sign all certifications in the Part 1 and Part 2 proposal, representative of the bidder who serves as the bidder's main point of contact for purposes of the RFP, as well as nominees. And just I'd like to flag here that we will only communicate with the representative and nominees. So bidders must ensure that the people that are working on the proposal on behalf of the bidder are those who are named in the proposal itself. The officer of the bidder is required to make several certifications by signing certain inserts with the Part 1 and Part 2 proposals. All Part 1 and Part 2 inserts are posted to the procurement website. So that means that the officer may sign all Part 1 and Part 2 inserts at once and submit all inserts with the Part 1 proposal for early processing. A bidder that submits the Part 2 inserts for early processing is not required to resubmit these inserts with the Part 2 form. There are two methods for signing the inserts. They can either be scanned with a wet signature or an electronic signature and emailed by the signatory or with the signatory on copy to illinois-rfp@nira.com. Or they can be submitted with a digital signature along with an additional document or information that verifies the identity of the signatory. So this could be the certification of completion in DocuSign or the final audit report in DocuSign. These documents can be either uploaded to the application website or emailed to us at our email address. Note that each of the inserts will include specific instructions for the completion of that insert. So it's important that when you are completing the insert, that you look at the instructions laid out specifically on that document. As I mentioned before, all bidders must pay a single bid participation fee of $500 for all 2023 procurement events. So this participation fee is due to the IPA by 12 p.m. noon on the Part 1 date. There are two acceptable payment methods, e-pay as well as ACH. Check is not an acceptable method for payment. We will be sending a complete set of instructions when we issue accounts. So this information will be sent to all current account holders, those individuals who have recently requested qualification credentials. Also included as part of the Part 1 proposal requirements are certain financial requirements. That includes the name of the entity on whose financial standing the bidder relies. The bidder would choose either itself to rely on its own financial standing, or may choose the financial standing of another party that would act as a guarantor. We also ask for credit ratings for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder will rely, as well as certain financial information for the entity, including annual and quarterly financial information. It's important to note that if any of this information is not available for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder relies, you must state this fact in section 2, section 10 of the online Part 1 form, and this, which is called the justification of omissions. The Part 1 proposal requires additional information and inserts for each procurement event you are participating in. So bidders participating in the AIC Energy Procurement Event will fill out Section 4 of the Online Procurement Form, ComEd, Section 5, Mid-American, Section 6, and AIC Capacity, Section 7. Under those sections, you'll be asked for information to prepare the applicable supplier contract documents. This insert should be provided to us in Microsoft Word. If it's not, if it's submitted in PDF format, we will come back to you and ask for the document in Word. These sections will also require you to submit the representations and certifications of the officer of the bidder. Again, the Part 2 proposal will require additional representations from the officer that can be provided with the Part 1 proposal. Section 8 and 9 of the Part 1 form must be filled out as needed by bidders applying under an agency agreement or that are relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor. And as Katie mentioned earlier in the presentation, there are new fuel mix requirements for the spring 2023 procurement events for block energy products. Specifically, the public results release for energy products will include the expected fuel mix related to winning bids aggregated across winning bidders. So with the Part 1 proposal, the officer of the bidder must certify in the certification applicable to each company that the bidder, if it's notified that its bids are identified as winning bids to the ICC, it will submit a complete fuel mix report, which is included as Appendix 18 to the RFP rules by 6 p.m. on the day after the bid date. A bidder that successfully completes the Part 1 proposal for a procurement event receives a Part 1 notification for each procurement event in which it participates. The Part 1 notification will be sent to bidders on March 31st, 2023 via secure electronic method. Documents included for the submission of the Part 2 proposal are included with the Part 1 notification, and that includes the amounts of bid assurance collateral required to bid on all blocks for the AIC Energy and ComEd procurement events, bid forms, and information needed to submit those bid forms. The Part 1 notification will also include an invitation to training where bidders will practice the bid submission procedures. Finally, we will also include a Microsoft Excel version of the fuel mix report that is due by 6 p.m. on April 18th from bidders who have bids that are identified as winning bids. The fuel mix report is currently posted to the procurement website in PDF format and is strictly in illustrative format at this time. After the Part 1 notification is sent to bidders, bidders will participate in a Part 2 proposal process. The Part 2 proposal will consist of information submitted through the online Part 2 form, signed certifications that are uploaded or sent via email if they were not already provided with the Part 1 proposal, submission of bid assurance collateral in the form of cash or an executed pre-bid letter of credit for each procurement event in which the bidder intends to bid, as well as bids. Note there are multiple deadlines for the Part 2 proposal. So the energy bid assurance collateral is due on the Part 2 date. This is due prior to the capacity bid assurance collateral. Additionally, the energy bid date comes before the capacity bid date. And we've included those dates on this slide. There is also a calendar posted to the procurement website. Bidders may provide a pre-bid letter of credit or post cash to meet the bid assurance collateral requirements. The standard pre-bid letters of credit are posted to the RFP website in Microsoft Word format. Bidders must use the standard format or incorporate modifications deemed acceptable by the applicable company. The final pre-bid letters of credit, as well as the modifications that are acceptable to the companies, were posted on February 27th. Please note that pre-bid letters of credit must be submitted electronically only directly to the applicable utility using the email addresses provided in the letter of credit and copying the procurement administrator. Bidders posting cash to meet the bid assurance collateral requirement must provide several documents that include the cash insert, draft request for return of cash, as well as the W-9. The cash insert has the bidder acknowledging that the conditions under which cash may be drawn, that no interest will be paid for cash submitted, and that the company may commingle cash submitted. We've posted the draft request for returns of cash. These are in Appendix 14 to the RFP rules. These are posted on the 16th. Additional to the W-9, bidders participating in the AIC and Mid-American procurement events must provide the AIC and vendor forms. If a bidder submits a Part 2 proposal to participate in both the AIC Energy and AIC Capacity procurement events, such bidder may send a single wire transfer to AIC in the amount required to participate in both procurement events. For AIC and ComEd, bid assurance collateral must be submitted in an amount of $5,000 per block, subject to minimums per utility, which is $250,000. The bid assurance collateral required to participate in the Mid-American procurement event is $25,000. We will send you a confirmation of the number of blocks that you can bid in the AIC Energy or ComEd procurement events based on the amount of the applicable bid assurance collateral provided. This will come to you in your notices that relate to your Part 1 or Part 2 proposal submissions. Lastly, the capacity bid assurance collateral must be submitted in an amount of $200,000, regardless of the amount of ZRCs a bidder plans to bid. Bidders submit bids in the procurement events exclusively using the bid forms provided with the Part 1 notification. Incomplete or inconsistently filled out bid forms will not be evaluated, but you will have time to cure those deficiencies. So on bid day, that means that a bidder will have until the end of the bid submission window to cure any deficiency in the bid form, or 10 minutes if the procurement administrator provides notice with less than 10 minutes left in the bid window that your bid form is deficient. Bid forms must be submitted to the procurement administrator via a secure bid transfer site. Bidders will have an opportunity to practice the bid submission process during a training session. The training session will also allow for the bidder to participate in the backup bid submission process. Just a quick note here that there is no webcast that accompanies bidder training, but instructions for participating in bidder training will be provided with your Part 1 notification. That Part 1 notification will also include a step-by-step guide for bid submission. As noted before, there are different bid dates for capacity and energy procurement events. The energy bid date is Monday, April 17th. Note on the energy bid date, there are overlapping bid windows. So bids for the 2024 and 2025 and 2025-2026 delivery years are due 1 hour prior to bids for the 2023-2024 delivery year. And then lastly, the capacity bid date is Monday, May 15th. While notification is required prior to ICC approval under the Public Utilities Act, the procurement administrator aims to notify bidders whether their bids are identified as winning bids to the ICC by phone by 6 p.m. on the bid date with a written notice to follow. So if you're not already provided, if you have not yet provided your contract insert with a Part 1 proposal, bidders with winning bids must provide that insert for the preparation of applicable supplier contract documents by 12 p.m. on the day after a bidder is notified that its bids are identified as winning bids. The procurement administrator and procurement monitor will each submit a confidential report to the ICC within 2 business days of the bid date. And then finally, the ICC will decide whether to accept the results of each procurement event within 2 business days of receiving the reports from the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor. And then as discussed earlier, fuel mix data related to winning bids for a procurement event for energy products will be aggregated across successful bidders and made public at the time of ICC approval of a procurement event for energy products. The fuel mix data related to winning bids will be collected in the fuel mix report, again, that's Appendix 18, sent to qualified bidders with their Part 1 notification. The fuel mix report is completed by winning bidders and provides the expected fuel mix by month and on-peak, off-peak segment for a company. There are a couple of things that happen for the contract execution process. Each company will send bidders via electronic means partially executed contract documents. Bidders countersigns, sends back electronically contract documents, and fulfills creditworthiness requirements. The creditworthiness documents are handled differently depending on the company. So ComEd prepares the guarantee for winning bidders. For this spring 2023 block energy and capacity RFP, bidders will have the option to amend their guarantee for ComEd instead of signing a replacement guarantee. Winners in the procurement events for Ameren and MidAmerican prepare and submit their own guarantees for electronic receipt by Ameren and MidAmerican respectively. Instructions regarding the contract execution procedures will be provided to bidders. Note that sellers that are unable to execute documents using a wet signature will be required to use a digital signature for ComEd. And bid assurance collateral may be drawn upon if supplier fees are not paid to the IPA on or before the seventh business day after the ICC decision. The last section of this presentation will be dedicated to the bid submission for energy products as well as bid submission for the capacity procurement event. A bid in the block energy procurement event consists of both a price and a quantity. Specifically, a bid is a price for a block of a product or for a block of a combination and is expressed in dollars per megawatt hour. Note you can bid on all blocks for a product and it doesn't preclude you from also submitting bids on combinations that include that product. So as an example, say the target is two blocks for February 2024 during the on-peak period for a utility. A bidder can submit a bid for both February 2024 individual blocks, as well as the January-February combination. In total, the bidder submitting bids for three blocks in February 2024, even though the target is two blocks. Bidders successfully submitting a Part 1 proposal for energy products will receive two bid forms with the Part 1 notification. I'll provide a couple of screenshots here. Each bid form is associated with the overlapping bid windows that I mentioned earlier. The first bid window is from 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., and that's for products in the 2024, 2025, and 2025, and 2026 delivery years. And then the bid window for the 2023-2024 delivery year is 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. There's an additional topic I wanted to discuss with respect to the block energy procurement events. That's the maximum willingness to supply. The maximum willingness to supply is a number of blocks that a bidder wants to win for a particular segment in a month for a company. So, for example, say the bidder wants to win up to three July 2024 on-peak blocks for utility. The bidder would specify a maximum willing supply for July of three blocks, but it could submit its bid in a number of different ways. So it could submit bids for three individual July 2024 on-peak blocks and also submit bids for three July-August 2024 combination blocks. But because the bidder specified a maximum willing supply of three blocks and the bidder submitted six blocks, the procurement administrator could select as winning bids up to three blocks from some combination of the bids for the individual July box and the bids for the July-August combination blocks. The bidder may, but is not required to specify maximum willingness to supply for a segment of a month to override the default maximum willingness to supply. Bidders wishing to read more and to see an example of the maximum willingness to supply are encouraged to download and read Appendix 17 to the RFP rules that is posted to the RFP website. Lastly, for the block energy procurement events, the bid evaluation proceeds in two steps. The first step, bids that fail to meet the benchmarks are eliminated. Step two, bids are selected that yield the lowest average cost per megawatt hour. Getting into the capacity bid form, bids for each season in the two planning years will be submitted in a single bid form. Each season is located on a single tab. So a bid consists of, for each season, a quantity of ZRCs, a price associated with that quantity of ZRCs, and the local resource zone for those ZRCs. Please note, you are required to provide the local resource zone because ZRCs from outside local resource zone may be bid into this RFP. A bidder may submit bids on any number of ZRCs at a given price, but cannot exceed the ZRC target for a given season in a planning year. The following example is illustrative only. So for the summer 2024-25 season, this bidder is submitting bids for 200 ZRCs in total. This bidder can submit bids for 200 ZRCs in a number of ways and submits the bid shown here. In our example, the bidder submits a single ZRC at $5 per megawatt day, but submits 65 ZRCs at $100 per megawatt day. Note that it is not necessary for the procurement administrator to identify all ZRCs at a given price as winning bids. For example, if a bidder submits bids for 200 ZRCs for the summer 2024-2025 season, it may be the case that we need only to select 190 ZRCs. So the bidder would then have 55 of its ZRCs at $100 per megawatt day selected as winning bids. The remaining 10 would not be selected. Similar to the bid evaluation for energy products, the bid evaluation for capacity products proceeds in two steps for each season in a planning year. Step one, bids that fail to meet the benchmarks are eliminated. And step two, the lowest price bids for a season in a planning year are selected until the applicable target is met.